The reading from Isaiah is from chapter 1, verses 10 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and of the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbath, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right and seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
So now we're going to watch a short clip about tradition from the musical Fiddler on the Roof. It's a story about the life of a Jewish community in Russia at the time of the communist revolution. And I'd encourage you to listen to what this main character has to say about tradition. And after that, Bill will read the gospel for us.
We've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in our temple, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know.
But it's a tradition. And because of our tradition, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Without our traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof.
The Bible reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. It speaks of the growing tension. A group of Pharisees, with some doctors of the law who had come from Jerusalem, met him and noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with defiled hands. In other words, without washing them. For the Pharisees and the Jews in general never eat without washing the hands in obedience to an old established tradition. And, coming from the marketplace, they never eat without first washing. And there are many other points on which they have a traditional rule to maintain. For example, washing cups and jugs and copper bowls. Accordingly, these Pharisees and lawyers asked him, "Why do your disciples not conform to the ancient tradition, but eat their food with defiled hands?" He answered, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites in these words. These people pay me lip service, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is in vain, for they teach as doctrines the commandments of men. You neglect the commandment of God in order to maintain the tradition of men." He also said to them, "How well you set aside the commandments of God in order to maintain your tradition. Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'The man who curses his father or mother must suffer death.' But you hold, if a man says to his father or mother, 'Anything of mine which might have been used for your benefit is korban,' meaning set apart for God, he is no longer permitted to do anything for his father and mother. Thus, by your own tradition, handed down among you, you make God's word null and void, and many other things that you do are just like that. This is the word of the Lord."
So as I begin this morning, a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Give us this morning, Lord, ears that are open, hearts that are willing to receive. And speak to us through your word this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Every family has its own traditions. What traditions do you have in your family? Things that you do at particular times and in particular ways. Christmas is a time loaded with tradition, isn't it? How does your Christmas day unfold? When do you open your presents? What are the elements of your Christmas dinner? Traditions are behaviours that are developed over time as a way of understanding and making sense of life. Traditions unify a family, a community, or a nation. Traditions give people a sense of belonging. If we follow the same tradition, then we identify with the same history or experience. It somehow connects us. We belong to each other. The word tradition means to hand down, to pass on. Traditions hand on a shared story. And that sense of being part of a greater story that goes way back into the past, often beyond memory or knowledge. It roots us, it anchors us, it gives us security. And the need to belong, to be secure, is one of our greatest human needs. So traditions are important for our sense of identity because they can anchor us into a story greater than our own. They give us a sense of belonging, of security and of stability. But traditions can also have their negatives. It doesn't take long to make a tradition. A tradition has to start somewhere, and normally it begins with one person's idea. And then other people agree it's a good idea, and so they put it into practice. After a while, other people might have other good ideas to improve on the first good idea, and so the tradition grows, until eventually the original reason for the tradition may become lost among all the other improvements. This is why Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees in our Gospel reading. He quotes the prophet Isaiah. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." Jesus says, "Look, God has given you some fairly straightforward commandments, but you've overthought them. The Jews have taken God's laws, such as honour your father and your mother, which ensures that the elderly are respected and cared for, and they had reasoned that because honouring God came first, it was more important to give money to the temple and therefore God than it was to use that money to care for their parents. So you had a very ornate temple, a very wealthy temple, but some very impoverished parents." Jesus and his disciples clashed with the Pharisees on many other occasions, such as when they plucked corn to eat as they walked through a cornfield on the Sabbath, or when Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. The commandment said that people must keep the Sabbath day holy. The Sabbath was a day set apart for God, and so they weren't allowed to work. But what is work? What is and isn't allowed to be done on the Sabbath? So they created a lot of little laws for every situation. Now, they all began with good intentions to help people keep the big commandments. But people then spent so much time trying to obey the little laws that they didn't have time to consider the main law, let alone the God who had given them the law. This is Jesus' charge in verses 8 and 13. "You have let go of the commandments of God. You have nullified the laws of God and made your own traditions more important." It isn't hard to look around today's church to find examples of traditions. Almost everything we do, say, sing, or believe has been handed down to us by men. So traditions help people to belong, they help people understand, but they can also become more important than originally intended. Traditions can also mark someone who doesn't belong. That person doesn't do what I do, so they are different. They don't belong. That community may do what we do, but they don't do it in the same way that we do, so they are different to us. They don't belong. Those people aren't people like us, so we can't trust them. Perhaps we should even fear them. This is what causes the Pharisees' complaint against Jesus. Jesus isn't doing what they do. He isn't washing his hands. He and his disciples pluck corn to eat on the Sabbath. He heals people on the Sabbath. Jesus doesn't follow their traditions, so he isn't one of them, so he can't be trusted. They see him as a threat, so much so that they eventually have him killed, crucified by the Romans. Jesus called out the religious leaders of his day. He called out their hypocrisy, their pretense. It would seem that their concern wasn't obedience to God. It might have looked like that, but underneath it had become about control. It was about who is in and who is out. The Israelites, who were meant to be a light to the world, an attractive shining light, a blessing to the nations, who were meant to be the people of God representing God to the world, had instead come to see themselves as elite and exclusive. Instead of being a gateway to God, they had become a barrier to God. Our reading from Isaiah is a prophecy against Sodom and Gomorrah, who weren't worshipping the wrong gods. They were worshipping the right God, but in the wrong way. But it's also a warning to the rebellious Israelites. Chapter 1, verse 4. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on him. Isaiah chapter 1 is a damning indictment of the religious condition at that time. God said, I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. I am not listening. All of the effort that they were putting into their rituals was worthless, meaningless, detestable, hated by God, because it was all for show. It was all on the surface of a veneer or mask that covered the disobedience of their hearts. Now this is a real challenge to us, isn't it? Do our traditions serve Christ, or do they serve us, or perhaps even something else? Do they help people find Christ, or do they hinder people from finding Christ? Are we worshipping God with our lips only? Is it just a show, or are our hearts close to God? Now, some years ago, I went to hear a bishop talk about mission in our diocese. He said that the church needs to meet people where they are and not expect them to come to us. We need to be imaginative and daring and fresh and new about how we do things, about how we communicate the gospel. So when we had a chance to ask questions, I asked him, if you want us to be imaginative and daring and new about how we do things, why is it that whenever the church gets a chance to be on the television, we trot out the same processions of choir boys and crosses and candles and strange robes and pointy hats and old music? Now he thought a little while, and then he said, the one thing the Church of England is good at is putting on a show. Now that might sound flippant or shocking, but I think it was coming from a lifetime of working within the Church of England with all of its frustrations. The Church of England, literally and metaphorically, has some very heavy stones to maintain and hand on. Traditions can be a blessing. They keep us rooted. They stop us blowing every which way. But if they keep us stuck in the past, if they stop us moving forward, then they are a burden. Every major move of the Holy Spirit is almost always a new thing. We need to beware when traditions keep us in the old and stop us seeing the new, or we may miss the next move of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is God's remedy for this meaningless, worthless, detestable, hateful state of affairs? He says, take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? He sums up the whole of the law in a couple of sentences. Love the Lord your God with all that you have, and love your neighbour as yourself. In his parable of the Good Samaritan, he identified our neighbour as everyone. not just those who are in our tribe, in our denomination or our subgroup of our denomination, but everyone. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the challenging parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep are the people who will go to eternal life, because by helping the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner, they help Jesus. The goats are those who go to eternal damnation, because by not helping the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoners, Jesus says they rejected him. I wonder if God is as concerned as we are about our denominations, about our differences, about our traditions, or our styles of worship. In his epistle, Jesus' brother James says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world."